There were two characters around the town. One was Miss Pink and the other one was Shorty. I think his name was Shorty Rutherford. He was a small, obviously retarded person, harmless to anybody, but they were characters around the town. So I didn't know of her, and you know, I had to learn who she was or what she was. And botanist who was there before me, Bob Winkworth, told me that, you know, she was trying to be a Daisy Bates and that sort of thing.
What year are we talking about? When did you arrive in Alice Springs?
I went there in 1954.
Yep. So at that stage, Olive Pink was still well in her...
Oh, yes, she was hale and hearty. And it wasn't long before, you know, the word got... I suppose I got my name in the paper on a few trips that I did in the Centralian Advocate, and she must have seen that and came in. And the main thing she wanted was that I should do something about it, getting rid of the rumex, the pink rosy dock that grows in the hills. And I treated it as a bit of a joke. I said, "Look, Miss Pink," I said, that's a very pretty plant. Why do you want to get rid of it?" She said, "Oh, you can get rid of it. It's a noxious weed." I said, "Well, unfortunately, I didn't have any power about noxious weeds. That was handled by the Agriculture Department in Darwin." I said, "But, you know, at the moment it looks attractive, and I know it grows in the ranges north of Adelaide, and they count it as one of their attractions. It is not a native, I know that, but sometimes you've got to accept that some things just happen. Like here in Canberra, the Cootamundra wattle grows all over the place. Here comes up, and of course it's not native in this area. But that was the first thing I had with Miss Pink. And I was always trying to make a joke with her, but she wasn't a very jocular person. She was serious.
She didn't have a sense of humour?
No, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get her to laugh and think that I was joking, which I was. I must admit, I don't like the fact that I treated her as a figure of fun. She was obviously a very intelligent woman, but I like to make jokes with people and couldn't do anything with her. I did tell her, and it was a fact. I had no power over it. There was also other people wanted me to get rid of the prickly pear that some Italians were growing behind the shop over at the east side. And again, I said, "Look, that I'd like to see got rid of, but I have no power. I have no power to even suggest to them." I said, "That's theirs, and it's worse than a noxious weed." But see, Miss Pink fitted into so many things there. She lived, well, you know where she lives, and we were in Lindsay Avenue, which was just over the hill from her place. And I learn now that our children used to go and climb up on the hill and either throw stones on her roof or and then run away, frightened.
You've mentioned this encounter, which is quite well known in Olive Pink folklore, apparently, the Ruby Dock story. Before that, had you had much to do with her?
No, none at all. She'd come in. She was obviously interested in plants, and she'd learnt some of the plants that the Aboriginals use, and she came in and asked me what they were, and so botanical names and so on. And she was just another one of many people that came in. Tourists, of course, came in all through the winter, all wanting to know what they were. And that's I've always counted that as one of the ways I learnt a lot, by constantly identifying for people. You get to know, you know, second nature. And but she was one of the many. She'd come in and ask any sort of a question about botany, and I couldn't even remember any other, but they were general inquiries about local plants. The bean tree was one. That's what my wife wants to talk about.
She was a big fan of the bean tree, of course.
There was one down near the street that ran down the side of where the CWA was and down to the river. And she, well, my wife can tell you, but I think the story was that she met my wife, my second wife, in town one day and accused her of having a husband who had her bean tree chopped down. I didn't even know it was gone. I didn't do it. I suppose she thought, you know, a botanist, he must have charge of those things. Oh, it's a logical thing.
Mm.
Wherever I went on a property, they'd all ask me what's wrong with their citrus, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with that.
So then along came, with Miss Pink, along came the Ruby Dock issue. Did she have more to do with you over that, or was it a single encounter?
No, it was a once-off, I think. I think I must have convinced her. I joked to her about it whenever she came in and say, it's looking good, isn't it, Miss Pink? And that was, you know, like a red rag to a bull.
See.
She'd look stern. She never said anything out of place. She'd just look sternly at me. I think sometimes she just wanted to come in and talk to somebody. I'm pretty sure that's what a number of people did, local people. Some pastoralists had come in, although mostly they were non-believers in anybody telling them anything in those days. I wouldn't say we were bad friends. As I said, I regret that I, in my mind, she was a figure of fun, but she wasn't. I've read the book that they wrote about her recently, or comparatively recently, and it's got a lot more in it than I ever knew about her. She was friendly with Bill Breitling out at Mount Dorian Station, and apparently he helped her. And he was a bit of a bigot, but he was easy enough to get on with. When she started her garden and she was planting trees and shrubs and so on in somebody's name, if they annoyed her, she'd cut that tree down. She said that herself. I didn't actually witness it. She'd go and cut it down. Now, I know my youngest daughter was married in Alice, I forget the year, about 17 or 18 years ago, she went to the Olive Pink Garden and sponsored a tree, a Eucalyptus chippendalea, which grows out in the western desert.
Named after yourself?
Yeah, it was named after me. And who did that? I can't remember. I think it was a woman from the ANU described that one. But we don't know whether it's still alive. It was a seedling when our daughter sponsored it. And she came back with a framed picture of Miss Pink and something about the Olive Pink Botanic Garden. Look, I think most people... A lot of people treated her as a figure of fun, but nobody denigrated her. I don't ever, including myself, I didn't ever run her down and say she's a rat bag or those sort of things. She was just part of the scenery, you might say, in Alice Springs.
Mm.
And you'd nod to her if you see her in the street, and that was frequent. But I think she came in, she wanted to talk to professionals, and I think that was what it was. She'd go to anybody who had some expertise, and when we got a zoologist, Alan Newsom, she'd come in and see him about something or other too.
You knew that she was building up this garden, did you?
I knew it. Yeah, I didn't think it'd ever get to what it is now, though. It was just her own private garden. And I think a friend of ours, George Taylor, was one of the pilots for Connellan Airways, and he said she attacked him, told him that he shouldn't fly over her place because he was looking down at her in her shower.
That's another famous story, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I knew George Taylor. He's dead now, but because of the height they fly, even if they went right over her place, you wouldn't see a damn thing. He's too busy with instruments and so on to get over the hills.
You didn't actually get to see her garden while she was alive?
No, I didn't. I didn't ever get there. I know Des has been there many times and has had afternoon tea and some cake, sienna, or some particular cake that's an afternoon tea cake.
Madeira cake.
Madeira, that's the one. Yeah, oh, Des gets on well with everybody. He's a remarkable bloke.
Well, one could never be sure when you were going to put the foot wrong with Miss Pink.
No, it's true. It's true. Well, I was never bad friends with her. She never, ever... She might have thought I was avoiding the issue of the Rosie Dock, but it still hasn't been marked as a noxious weed, as far as I know.
I first met her at a show, and they had a what was it called now? It was
shower.
Shower. And I had entered some oranges, which my husband grew, and something else, and I got a couple of prizes there, and she was talking to me very nicely and congratulating me, and you know, I thought we were very friendly. And then one day I was walking up the main street and bumped into her, and she came at me and said, I'm going to do something about your husband. He had my bean tree pulled down. And I said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, the bean tree outside the CWI, he had it cut down, and it's been there for years, and I was very fond of it, and I'm going to tell him off. Anyway, I thought I didn't know anything about it, and of course George didn't have anything to do with the cutting down of a tree. It wasn't in his area at all, and somehow she got that idea, but she held it against me forever. I thought she was a very pleasant person most of the time, but once the bean tree came into it, we weren't friends anymore.
That was very early in your relationship with her?
I wasn't up there as long as my husband, 3 or 4 years in Alice, but in that whole time I used to say hello to her and she'd just stiffly say hello back. And I sort of felt that I don't know why it was my fault.
She could be sometimes like that, from all accounts.
Yes. There was another time that some children were misbehaving in the street, throwing things at one another, and she said to me, you're a teacher, you quieten them down, you tell them not to do that. Because I didn't know the children or anything about them. And I didn't do anything, I'm afraid. But she was very, a very opinionated person. When she thought of something, you know, she believed in it very firmly.